President Trump on Monday signed an executive order to impose new sanctions on Iran.
Sanctions imposed through the executive order that I'm about to sign will deny the Supreme Leader and the Supreme Leader's office and those closely affiliated with him and the office access to key financial resources and support.
Plus, the U.S. Supreme Court issues a ruling on immoral and scandalous trademarks and agrees to take up a case involving the Affordable Care Act during its next term in the fall. This is What's News from The Wall Street Journal. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York. Before we get to the Supreme Court, here are some other top headlines from today. President Trump imposed new sanctions on Iran, limiting the country's access to financial instruments. The president said the new measures would be hard-hitting.
These measures represent a strong and proportionate response to Iran's increasingly provocative actions. We will continue to increase pressure on Tehran until the regime abandons its dangerous activities and aspirations, including the pursuit of nuclear weapons, increased enrichment of uranium, development of ballistic missiles, engagement in and support for terrorism, fueling of foreign conflicts, and belligerent acts directed against the United States and its allies.
President Trump said the U.S. is not seeking conflict with Iran and has shown restraint. The U.S. says it's also planning to put together an international coalition to protect shipping in the Persian Gulf. The U.S. has blamed Iran for attacks on oil tankers in recent weeks. And last week, Iran downed a U.S. drone and has threatened to violate the terms of the 2015 nuclear pact. President Trump continued his criticism of the Federal Reserve on Monday, saying in tweets that the central bank, quote, doesn't know what it is doing. President Trump has been calling on the Fed to cut rates. The central bank decided to hold rates steady after its policy meeting last week. The central bank also indicated a rate cut could be on the horizon as early as July. Speaking after the meeting, Fed Chairman Jerome Powell also addressed questions over reports that President Trump, who did appoint him as Fed chair, might move to demote him.
I think the law is clear that I have a four-year term, and I fully intend to serve it.
The Federal Reserve holds its next policy meeting in July. Bristol-Myers Squibb says its $74 billion merger with Celgene, previously expected to close in the third quarter of this year, has been delayed as the company addresses the concerns of federal regulators. Bristol-Myers has agreed to sell off Celgene's anti-inflammatory drug Otezla in response to anti-competitive concerns regarding the merger. The psoriasis drug had global sales of $1.6 billion last year. Bristol-Myers now expects to close its merger with Celgene at the end of this year or in early 2020. Democratic presidential hopefuls are gearing up for the first 2020 debates this week, beginning on Wednesday. Frontrunner Joe Biden will appear in Miami on Thursday, where he's likely to face questions about recent comments referring to his work with two segregationist senators. Biden faced backlash and calls for an apology from his Democratic competitors. This week's debates are being split into two consecutive nights, each with 10 candidates. It's a busy week for the U.S. Supreme Court, which wraps up its current term this week. On Monday, the court handed down a ruling in favor of a California clothing designer whose name is spelled F-U-C-T and whose pronunciation sounds like an expletive. The ruling strikes down a ban on immoral and scandalous trademarks. The Wall Street Journal's Jess Braven has more.
The Supreme Court said on Monday that it violates the First Amendment for the Patent and Trademark Office to deny registration to trademarks it finds scandalous or immoral. It found that the government cannot be in the business of deciding the content of speech and which meets its approval and which it doesn't. And so as a result, this ban has been struck down. The court did, however, leave open the possibility that Congress could draft a narrower, more specific statute, perhaps targeting vulgar speech or profanity that could be excluded from trademark registration. Incidentally, trademark registration is not necessary to have a trademark. One can have a trademark and defend it in court. The advantage of government trademark registration is that it makes it easier. You can get a number of presumptions in your favor if your product you believe is being copied by someone else when you go to court to sue a competitor.
And the court also ruled on Monday on a case involving the Freedom of Information Act, allowing the government to shield documents that contain sensitive business information. For more on that ruling, we turn to the Wall Street Journal's Brent Kendall.
This has been a contested area of the law, and for a long time, courts have generally sided with reporters and public access groups that requested documents from the government, unless a business could show that it would be substantially harmed by the release. The court reinterpreted the law today and said that businesses didn't have to meet as high of a standard. So if some government program or agency has records that include sensitive business information, even if the information wouldn't be substantially harmful, only somewhat harmful, or the kind of information that a business would normally keep private, that's enough, the court said, to keep the information from being released. This all came in the context of a case brought by a South Dakota newspaper that was investigating food stamp fraud. As part of that, it had asked the USDA for data on grocery stores on a store-by-store level in terms of how much business each of these stores had done with food stamps and redeemed with the federal government. The idea was to use this information to pinpoint particular stores where maybe there had been an issue. Lower courts ordered the government to turn over the information. There's a trade group for the grocery store industry that intervened in the case and eventually appealed to the Supreme Court in a bid to keep this information secret, saying, look, this was commercially sensitive data, and if it was out there in the public, different figures on sales for particular stores, including sales volume and the kind of customers they targeted and so on, that could put those stores at a competitive disadvantage. And at the end of the day, the court agreed in a 6-3 ruling with the stores, and this information won't be released. I mean, it'll take some time for this all to get sorted out and to see how much of a setback this will be for media groups and others that advocate in favor of public access. But there's no question that the government has more leeway now than it did yesterday to block the release of information that's got commercially sensitive material in it.
And the court also added new cases to the docket for its next term in the fall, agreeing to hear a case on whether the federal government must pay billions of dollars to health insurers who participated in health exchanges under the Affordable Care Act.
This is a different kind of case involving who gets paid under the law and whether the government owes about $12 billion to health insurers. There's a program under the ACA that was designed to backstop insurers who sold insurance premiums on the insurance marketplaces where people bought coverage online. The idea was if the insurers ended up having to pay out more in claims than they collected in premiums, that the government would help mitigate some of that risk and step in and make sure they received some makeup payments. But after the law was enacted and Congress appropriated money in future years, it actually eliminated the ability of the government to make those payments. After that happened, a bunch of insurance companies sued. The cases worked their way up through the courts. A federal appeals court ruled against the industry and said the government could suspend payments in this way. And so the insurers appealed, and the Supreme Court on Monday agreed to hear that case. This will be something that the justices hear probably in late fall and will issue a ruling in 2020. The insurance industry said, you know, nothing less than, you know, faith in a partnership between private industry and the government is at stake in this case, and argues that the government can't just bait and switch and break promises like this. The government argues that, you know, yes, though the ACA said this originally, you know, Congress can change its commitments, and here Congress, it says, validly did so.
That's the Wall Street Journal's Brent Kendall. The Supreme Court will be back in session on Wednesday. You may have heard of the hit Broadway musical Hamilton. Well, some fans of the nation's other founding fathers say he's overshadowing those important figures in American history. The Wall Street Journal's Valerie Borlein spoke to fans hoping their favorites will get some more attention.
Well, I think when Hamilton first came out 4 years ago, it made a big splash, right? But then it kept making a splash, and it keeps selling out. And so historians and museum curators and fans of other founding fathers, I even heard about a conference where it was specifically how to get your historic figure more attention. And for example, there was a state historical association that put on a, you know, Benjamin Harrison musical that was very lightly attended, but trying to get some attention to other revolutionary and early America people.
So who are some of the founding fathers they're rooting for?
George Washington has gotten a lot of positive attention and still does. He's the only founding father bobblehead that outsells Hamilton. He's up there close to, you know, Elvis-level bobblehead popularity. But you hear a lot of James Madison getting sort of a bum rap. He did a lot of the writings that made the country what it is. And then you hear a lot of Ben Franklin, too, because he really was involved in thinking through how we were going to do this big experiment. And it's funny because we talked with some Ben Franklin impersonators, and they were funny, but they said, you know, one of them said, I trained a Hamilton as a sidekick just to have somebody to talk with, and now he's getting all these insane deals. He flies over the country and appears at Hamilton openings, and Ben Franklin's feeling a little bit ignored.
And finally, we have what could be a contentious question for you. Who deserves more attention, Hamilton or Jefferson? Or maybe you have someone else in mind. Let us know with a comment on our website or tweet us at WSJ Podcasts. And that's what's news for this Monday afternoon. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.